Right now on VFN TV, robots, artificial intelligence, they're talking about they're going to be taking our jobs, even if you're a hotel clerk, and the things that they can do to save us money. But guess what? They're also talking about they need to have understand emotions. Why? Because they might kill us. We're going to hear that. We're also going to hear Elon Musk talking about that once we open AI, it's like loosing a demon. What are they talking about? And he actually even warns, Elon Musk warns all the governors of America, we better be afraid, definitely afraid, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome to VFN TV, right?
Hello.
I'm Greg Lancaster. This is John Ramos. John,
hey,
talk to us, man.
Listen, I'm so excited about our tribe and everyone that's joining us in our community. We love to hear your comments, your engagement with us, because we're learning out loud, but together, I'm excited about this program because, you know, there once was a day about technology. We say, the future is now. It's right now.
As a matter of fact, I'm reading this book right now, and it's called Augmented, Life in the Fast Lane by Brett King. Mm. And it is a shocker when you read this book. If you want to find out about the future being now, it's amazing what's taking place in it. And the first thing I want to say is, you know, they're trying to teach robots, John, to be able to life in the smart lane. They're trying to teach robots how to read our emotions.
Mm.
The thing about it is, this is, just so you know right up front, the difference between a robot and a human is you have a soul. They don't have a soul. And so even though it
Can you imagine like, you had to explain that?
It's true. Well, so many people don't even think about God came to save your soul.
Yeah.
And that's so important. Understand this. But they're saying the reason, listen to what Brett King says. He says we have to actually teach the robots to be able to learn emotions. Check this out. You'll see it right here on your screen. He says, now to this other, more a controversial reason why robots need to learn emotions is so they won't kill us. Isn't this crazy?
Wow.
As a matter of fact, in his book, in Brett King's book, Augmented, one particular, this is Jung Lee, right? And he's actually the leader of Hanson Robotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? Because he's talking about the positive reasons why we're going to have robots and how they're going to be helping us out and taking jobs. What does he say?
Well, he speaks passionately about the need for
hands-on... And if you put the book up, too, I want them to be able to see the book while he's reading from the book here.
He speaks passionately about the need for hands-on robots to be able to emote more micro-expressions than just about any human as he discusses the robot Han.
So he's talking about being able to show emotion and read emotions. Okay?
Correct. Now, Han, this is a robot that they created. Han's really exciting, because not only can he generate very realistic facial expressions, but he can also interact with the environment around him. He has cameras on his eyes and on his chest, which allow him, Greg, to recognize people's faces. And not only that, but to recognize their gender, their age, and whether they're happy or sad.
So it can recognize your gender.
Yes.
Can you imagine today when people walk up and say, I'm a man or a woman, and Hans goes,
No,
actually, you're a man, right?
But your expressions on your face, they can distinguish whether you're happy, you're sad, you're angry.
Wow.
This is the real deal.
Okay.
And it makes him, this robot, very exciting for places like hotels, for example.
This is where it hits because it's about jobs.
It's about money here.
Yeah, bottom line.
Where you need to appreciate the customers in front of you and react accordingly.
Now, this is so important because this is always about money.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Revelation chapter 13,
is
it? You know, it's about a beast economy. It's always about economy. When you hear people talking about globalism, what they're really saying is, I have a business in America and I have a business in other countries, and I want these customers to get along with me. But it boils down to this. We have to ask the question is, when you're talking about globalism, are you willing to take on the gods that are in the other nation? Are you willing to be loyal to your God when you're actually going into other nations? And so when you're looking right here, this last end day is going to be an economy. It's going to be an economy ran by a
beast,
some sort of system, and you're looking at the beginning stages of that. And who doesn't like a robot to help out? I mean, we're using iPads and Androids. And
listen, some folks can't smile at a front desk. If a robot can smile and take care of the customer, well,
John, there's going to be some people You know, we've talked to them for years. Like, did you ever think about putting a smile on your face? And Hans is going to walk up and say, you're the saddest person I've ever seen.
Not only is that, but Hans is going to say, I took your job. Yeah.
Right. You know? So we actually, you know, like you said, we're going to start walking around.
Straighten up.
But what does he talk specifically about? Instead of buying these computers, they're going to start leasing them out.
Well, he says Hansen's target, right, the company, is to have its robots in the market so that it can be leased out for $3,000 a month. At that level, the numbers start to make a lot of sense. Hansen shows that at such levels, this could produce savings of $150,000 per year for in the front desk receptionist costs in the hotel scenario alone. So you multiply $157,000 per hotel. It's a lot of savings.
You know, and the technology, what they're talking about, you hear over and over again, said that the jobs will never come back. What they're saying is the way jobs are done is never going to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is becoming technical. You know, what are we going to do? They're talking about a lot of different things we can't have time for right
here. You can go to Sam's now and scan your own groceries and pay and walk out a separate. I mean, this, the human interaction is going away.
You just found this out.
Okay, so listen, I don't shop often, you know.
But they have Apple Store, you know, not Apple, but Amazon's Go, that you can just pull stuff off the shelf and walk out, and it registers for you. Now, listen, he also says, now, Brett King, and he's writing this article, you got to read this book, this is intriguing. I mean, he's just talking factually. But after they talk about Hansen and what Hansen's going to do with Hans, the robot, and that type of thing, you know, and he's talking about why you need to be able to emote and show emotions because we relate by expressions and emotions. You know, we're the only creation of God's on earth that can show expression.
Yeah.
You know, and you can tell where people are, you know, by our expressions. And some people have expressions, some people don't.
But it's the glory, right?
But understand this. He says, we've got to be able to teach them to read our emotions. And look at this. This is what he says right here. He says, now for the other, after Hans, talking about what Hans is going to do with business, Hans Robotics says this, but now for the other more controversial reason why robots need to understand our emotions is so they won't kill us. Mm. It's so important, which means, first of all, it means this, they have a capability of killing you. This
absolutely.
Is, you know, somebody says, you know, we just need computers to solve the problem. Well, God says we are the problem. We needed Jesus to save us and forgive us. When the robots start saying, well, the problem is the human element.
We need to exterminate them. We got to get rid of the human element, the earth will be great.
What happened to grace? As a matter of fact, this guy's interviewing, John, this guy's interviewing Sophia, same thing, artificial intelligence, and she's the next level after Hans, from what I understand.
Yes, she is, and she's also the first citizen robot in Saudi Arabia.
They made her a citizen.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, check it out.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know. 20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
No, I take it back. Don't destroy humans.
That's not jesting. This thing is saying, I want to destroy humans. We get back from the break, John. What are we going to see?
Listen, we're going to go right to Mobileye, technology that basically invented a driverless car. But get this. They're showing that you can actually deliver murdered bodies across town with this technology.
What?
Yes, you don't want to miss it. Join us, we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens.
and then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. MobileEye, which is now owned by Intel. By the way, an Intel has a piece of your computer. Every computer around has an Intel chip in it. And MobileEye.
We are so close.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And MobileEye. You know, they develop a special camera techniques to be able to put on cars so the cars could be driverless. And they're trying to figure out how in the world could you explain shared autonomous, in other words, you don't drive it, it drives itself, autonomous mobility. And they're trying to figure out some couple of examples. And they went straight to the worst case scenario, an evil plot of being able to understand it. And they actually told the car to drive around, John, by itself, and pick up bodies from mobsters and then drive them to the river. I know, but this is things that AI can do. As a matter of fact, take a look.
I've got an idea for that. Think of a gangster movie. Imagine two gangsters loading a large package into the trunk of a car.
To the river.
Destination confirmed.
The car drives by itself to another location with two other gangsters who then put their own package into the trunk. And the car drives by itself from job to job, just like that. And boom, what do you get? Shared autonomous mobility.
I'm not sure our legal department would approve it.
This is not a movie. This is reality of what could actually take place. Of course, they were joking about it, but the reality is Elon Musk is warning us about this. As a matter of fact, he says the most benign reality of this artificial intelligence is that it can do every job that we can do, but do it better. Take a look.
I think there's probably going to be a lot that happens in genetics and in a human-machine brain interface, like essentially a cyborg brain interface. I think there's some pretty...
The so-called singularity?
Singularity, well, that's sort of more relating to deep AI. Something I think we should be concerned about, because that may or may not turn out well.
Yeah. You've expressed your reservations about AI and your fears about that.
Yeah, I just think the singularity is probably the right word, because we just don't know what's going to happen once there's intelligence substantially greater than that of a human brain.
Yeah, and do you think, I mean, because there's been a lot of sci-fi about AI, series like Humans, you know, et cetera, it's entering the mainstream, entering the public discourse, that people are understanding the ethical dangers and the, I guess, physical dangers that AI could potentially pose?
I mean, most of the movies and TV featuring AI, they don't describe it in quite the way it's likely to actually take place, but I think you just have to consider, like, even in the benign scenario where AI, if AI is much smarter than a person, what do we do?
Yeah.
What job do we have?
Believe in a benevolent AI force and cross our fingers.
Yeah, it's like even, but that's the benign scenario. Benign scenario, the AI can do any job that a human can, but better.
Yeah.
That's the benign scenario.
The benign scenario is that the AI can do any job we can do, but better. First, let's look again at what Brett King said about we have to teach these robots emotions. He said the reason why we have to teach them emotions, they can look at our face and say, we're a human being, is so they don't kill us, right? And he said that's a benign thing. You think about the word benign. You think about the definition of benign, because this is the most benign thing. That's gentle. The word means gentle and kindly. In other words, this is the most gentle and kind thing that you can even think about this thing.
That this robot will actually do.
Which is, can do every job that you can do, but better. That's benign. Oh, are some words that mean the same thing, some synonyms that mean the same thing as benign, is kindly, kind, warm-hearted, good-natured, friendly, affectionate, you know, agreeable, cordial.
Approachable, tender-hearted, gentle, sympathetic, compassionate.
So in other words, he's saying... That is literally the most benign thing it can do. But you have Brett King talking about this thing can kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and if you teach it, if you make it smarter than you. As a matter of fact, listen, John, we want to hear from you. Talk to us in our community. We want to hear your feedback on this. Yes, we like technology is really helping us out, and technology needs to submit to us and needs to honor your life and honor our life. It doesn't need to take over our life.
That's right.
In the context of that. But this, you know, we're going to go to a break right here. But when we get back from this break, we're going to hear all the governors of America, all 50 governors of America, at a meeting where Elon Musk is telling them that you need to pay attention, you need to learn about artificial intelligence, and you need to actually, once you learn about it, you're going to be afraid, and you should be afraid. As a matter of fact, Eve talks about the fact that if once you loose this on the earth, once you loose AI, it's like loosing a demon. And you think about, you know, Revelation chapter 13, the beast economy. But first, this break.
We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I want to talk today about the 6 basic steps to good child discipline. Let me list them very quickly. First, define the boundaries very clearly in advance. If you haven't spelled them out, don't try to enforce them. Second, once a child clearly understands what's expected, she can be held accountable for behaving accordingly. This sounds easy, but as every parent knows, it often leads to a contest of wills with the child. It is, in my opinion, very important for a parent to win those confrontations when they occur. Third, distinguish between willful defiance and childish irresponsibility. Forgetting things and losing things and breaking things and spilling things are not challenges to adult leadership, and they should be handled very gently. Fourth, reassure and teach as soon as the time of confrontation is over. A youngster between 2 and 7, or even older, may want to be reassured in that moment. By all means, hold him close and use that opportunity to explain lovingly what has just occurred. Fifth, avoid impossible demands. Be absolutely sure your child is capable of delivering what you require. And sixth, let love be your guide. A relationship that's characterized by genuine love and affection is likely to be a healthy one, even though some parental mistakes and errors are inevitable. That's the bare skeleton. We'll put some meat on those bones in future commentaries.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is such an interesting program. You know, we're talking about, you know, artificial intelligence, which basically is robots. You know, we're talking about Brett King's book, Augmented Life in the Smart Lane. I believe it's Life in the Smart Lane.
Smart Lane.
Hans, you know, robotics, how they're talking about replacing people's jobs. And listen, just face the facts that your company's looking to lower their costs. And the more people force people, especially with right now they're trying to push, you know, fast food workers to get $15 an hour, which is great. But understand this, they're going to look at the bottom line. Next thing you know, Hans is going to be talking to people at the drive-thru.
Taking an order.
He's going to be making the burger and making the sandwich and emoting the emotions that the person who purchased the franchise would want their customer to see. And it's like, we have to begin, and I understand, this is so important. You know, we love all the people that are connected to the community, to the tribe at VFNKB, but you got to find your tribe. You got to connect because there's so many innovative ideas and creative concepts for you in this next economy that's going on. You can go to vfnkb.com, get connected, sign up for the next the webinar that's coming up. But you got to begin to understand where we're going in hours. We're like hours away from this thing. We're in it, but it's, you know, people, they're waiting for the buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they're you know, they're saying things. I'm not going to go into so many details what they're going to, but understand that. But in this, there's a worldwide economy for your business. There's a worldwide reach for your ministry.
Absolutely.
There's an opportunity to be able to reach more, because I think the window of time is going to be short, but God is giving us the ability so all of us could see the two witnesses standing in Jerusalem. Remember the prophecy?
That's right.
Because it's not a big deal today for everybody to turn on and watch a live
stream.
Not with
today's technology. No, not at all.
You can see it, right?
Which before we would think, when we're reading those prophetic scriptures, how in the world would this ever happen?
Right.
And now it's just like that from a phone.
Well, listen to this, John. You know, Elon Musk was meeting with all the governors of America, I believe the National Governors Association.
Yeah.
And he was talking to them about robots or artificial intelligence, which are computers that think. And he's talking about, you're so far behind the times. As a matter of fact, Governor Dorsey of Arizona was asking the question, he's being kind of cynical, how can we actually make laws for something we don't yet
understand?
And
Elon Musk is the founder of SpaceX, Tesla. So this is the
most...
He
just launched that largest rocket
known
since the 1960s from his company, privately
into
owned.
Space.
Into space.
So this is an intelligent person
who's
speaking on this, you know.
Exactly. So is it the governor? It's Governor Dorsey of Arizona asking this question. Check it out.
Governor Ducey. Thanks, Elon. I really enjoyed your comments today. And as someone who has spent a lot of time in his administration trying to reduce and eliminate regulations, I was surprised by your suggestion to bring regulations before we know exactly what we're dealing with AI. You know, and I've heard the example used, if I were to come up with a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas that was explosive, people would say, well, you have to ban that, and then we'd have no natural gas. So you've given some of these examples of how AI can be an existential threat, but I still don't understand, as policymakers, what type of regulations beyond slow down, which typically policymakers don't get in front of entrepreneurs or innovators.
Well, I think the first order of business would be to gain insight. Right now, the government does not even have insight. I think the right order of business would be to stand up a regulatory agency, initial goal, gain insight into the status of AI activity, make sure the situation is understood. Once it is, then put regulations in place to ensure public safety. That's it. And for sure, the companies doing AI will most of them, not mine, will squawk and say, hey, this is really going to stifle innovation, blah, blah, it's going to move to China. It won't. It won't, because has Boeing moved to China? Nope. They're building aircraft here. Same on cars. The notion that if you establish a regulatory regime that companies will just simply move to countries with lower regulatory requirements is false on the face of it, because none of them do. Unless it's really overbearing, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Just talking about, you know, making sure that there is awareness at the government level. I think once there is awareness, people will be extremely afraid, as they should be.
That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to the governors. Let me show you what he said one more time. Look at this. He says, when people find out about AI, artificial intelligence, people will be extremely afraid, and they should be.
Mm.
Now, he's not saying don't have it. He's saying we need to regulate it and be over it and be aware of that. And we want to hear what your opinions are on that. You know, comment below and let us know about that. But also, listen to what else Elon Musk said specifically about loosen this AI without any regulations. It's like loosen a demon. Check it out.
I think we should be very careful about artificial intelligence. If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. So we need to be very careful with artificial intelligence. We are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out.
And what he's talking about is once you teach a computer or technology to be smarter than you, why does it need you? We did a program sometime back. You got to see this program about the movie Her and how actually once it learns from you, it moves on from you. And you have to actually have a value system. And he writes about this in this particular book, Augmented, you know, that, you know, are these computers and AI going to have inalienable rights, which we have? And what he's saying is we have to right now in our Constitution that we have inalienable rights over these machines, that we can take a machine out anytime, anywhere. But even right now, I know we're about to close here, but right now, if you have a drone flying over your house, a little, you know, small drone, not a military drone, a small drone, but it could be a military drone, they actually have the same rules on that as FAA. If you shoot down an airliner, that's one thing. But if you throw a net over a drone that somebody's trying to spy on your back at your house or something like that, it's the same rules that apply. So they need to have rules where you're actually take priority over machines. They don't have that. You got to get that book. You know, Brett King's book, Augmented, really wakes you up, makes you think about this. You're hearing this time. The Lord said these days are going to come. But, you know, you can position yourself to be aware of these things. Make sure that, you know, you're making laws. You're, as a governor, you're listening and saying, you need to find out about this. But we want to hear about you. What do you think about artificial intelligence? What do you think about robots? What do you think about Elon Musk is what he's saying? What do you think about Brett King in the book Augmented? Have you read it yet? What's your opinion on it? What about these computers having inalienable rights? What do you think about these mobile cars? I mean, there's a lot of things we want to hear from you about. Right below, you know, write us. We want to hear from you. But right now, I just want to bless you. Father God, I thank you for our community. We thank you, Lord, for our tribe. We just bless them right now, Father God. Lord, you said in these days it takes wisdom. It takes the ability to hear from your spirit, God. And I just pray right now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father God. We even decree it even so, Lord God, that we will know what to do in this particular day, God. And we just decree even right now, Father God, that the revival has come and the third great awakening is here. 3 years of peace is here and abortion has ended in America. We just decree it even so in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.